It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And this is the National Day of Prayer, and we're going to listen to Stephen Curtis Chapman help us to just be still. Let's listen.
And know that He is God. Be still. And know that He is God. Be still. And know that He is God. Be still.
It's May the 4th of 2017, and always we do news, and certainly today we're going to do a little bit of it, but I'm learning, and I'm going to remind you today that we receive our strength from time with the Lord. There is not a lot of good news today, and it seems that the unending source of good news continues to come out of Washington, and so we get discouraged, and I think it's a really wonderful day for us to be back on our knees. Back on our knees, praying for our nation, praying for our president, praying for our Congress, and that's exactly what we're going to do. The verse for today is Daniel 9:19, and in the NIV it reads like this: Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. And that's our verse for the National Day of Prayer. Well, just a few things. We know that really outrageous omnibus bill passed last night. Republicans 132, Democrats 178, 102 Republicans opposed it, and only 15 Democrats. And it was a really bad bill, and yet they're trying to tell us it's a really good bill. And I'll just start with that. We have an executive order that is going to be signed by the president today on religious freedom, and I have to say it's been somewhat gutted, and that's a very big disappointment. There's some good things in it, but they're not what we had hoped for, and for bakers like the Kleins out in Oregon, and for Baronelle Stutzman in Seattle, who suffered so much because of her being punished because of not making flowers for a gay couple. It's a serious situation, so we need to pray, and we need to pray for the president. I've asked General Jerry Boykin, who is the vice president of the Family Research Council, the founder of Delta Force, a lion of a man, but a heart with a heart for God, to join us this morning because we're going to pray together. General Boykin, thanks for joining us this morning.
I am so glad to be with you on this very special day, Sandy.
You know, General, I know you agree. We get so busy. We're trying to do so many things on the front lines that we forget to just be still. And I think it's probably the very thing that we lack. You know, it's that power of the Spirit. But let me ask you, on the issue of national security, how much danger are we in right now from your perspective? In terms of North Korea, Iran, et cetera.
Well, first of all, I think we're in perilous times. I think that there is danger, and I think that in my lifetime, certainly since the Korean War, we are closer to war on the Korean Peninsula. Now, do I think it will happen? I do not, because all of the threats that are being issued by Kim Jong-un are hollow threats. He has no deliverable nuclear weapon, and he certainly can't destroy the Carl Vinson. So there's a lot of posturing and bluster, but nonetheless, one miscalculation, you know, and we could be at war there. Ultimately, I believe that showing strength will convince not only the North Koreans but the Chinese that it is not a good idea to provoke America and to provoke this very unpredictable president that I think is doing a very good job.
Well, even though your place of expertise is national security, General, you deal in a wide spectrum of things just like I do. And I just wonder, this morning as you look at the news, I just gave a couple of stories only. What are the things that concern you most and you think we should be praying about?
I think we should be praying that the church in America will see this next 4 years as an opportunity and take advantage of it. Or it could be the end of the America that we know if the church doesn't stay vigilant. So I think we should be praying that our brothers and sisters in Christ are alert, are paying attention, and are seeking the Lord in terms of how they can make a difference. I think the second thing is I think we should be praying that our leaders will have strength and fortitude, and that they will show that strength and fortitude to our adversaries as well as to our enemies. We need strong allies, and we need to strike fear in the hearts of our enemies, and that comes from strong leadership.
Yeah, you know what? I see exactly the same way. Certainly the first point, I believe we are again at a crossroads, and I hear people, you know, people really are getting tired, General Boykin. They thought, you know, they worked hard and it was settled, but it doesn't go that way. Life does not go that way. We cannot be weary and well-doing. And, you know, there is no easy path. I think because we've had such an easy path, we don't understand endurance. You do. You've been in the battlefield. Yeah. And even when you're losing the war and you're losing men, you have to continue to fight. And this is where we are. We cannot be weary and well-doing. And the church, it really does rest on the church. It does. We have to be God's people, meaning filled with his spirit, yes. Infusing this culture with the light of God himself. And with that in mind, I would, if you would pray with us and for us, General Boykin, that would just be wonderful. Let's pray together, okay?
I'd be delighted to. Would all of your listeners please join me in this prayer? And Lord, we lift up this great nation that you have given us. We recognize that you gave us this to be a beacon of light, Lord, and to be a beacon to a world of darkness. And now, Lord, help us as individual Christians, as churches, as the body of Christ, to stand strong in defending and protecting what you have given us. God, we ask that you would make us not only prayer warriors, but intercessors, Lord, and meaning that you would awaken us in the night, that you would awaken us at all times when there are needs in our country, when the leaders of our country have needs, that you would awaken us and call us out of our bed, Lord, to pray and to intercede on behalf of the leadership of this nation and our military leaders. We ask, God, that you would put a pall of protection over each and every young man and woman that serves this nation in uniform, that you would give them victory over their enemies, God, that you would give them clarity and give them a clear understanding of what they are serving for and how much this nation means to the whole world, God, that they will be able to go out and serve with a transcendent cause, God, and that cause is one that is bigger than they are as individuals. And then finally, Lord, we pray that you would bless the clergy in this nation, Lord, and you would give our clergy a renewed wisdom, God, that we haven't seen in them in a long time, that as this executive order comes out today, Lord, that they will ponder it and rejoice in it and make sure that they know what it means to them as individual leaders in the church, and wake up every Christian and let every Christian, God, seek you for their assignment in the future, God, because we thank you for all you've done for us. We glorify you for your wonderful blessings upon this nation, and we stand ready and vigilant as watchmen on the wall for you. In Jesus' name I pray.
And Lord, I would just add to that that we would not be so attached to our comforts and the love that we have of the things that you have given us so abundantly, that we are not willing to pay the price, and that we also lose the sight of what it means to have more of you in such a powerful way that nothing else matters. And Lord, I pray that you would adjust our hearts so that we are ready for that, whatever the loss is, that we are ready on our knees, that we are just prepared to be filled with the power of your Spirit to transform this culture, to do whatever we have to do. Lord, I pray for the president today. Lord, I just pray for him. Father, help him. He is surrounded by different voices. He is, I think, new to even contemplating your ways, Father. And I just pray that you would surround him with the right voices that would speak the right things, and you would protect him for the sake of our nation. And I pray for those men who have his ear already, that they would be faithful, not turned by their access to the White House, but they would speak truth with power and boldness. I pray for specifically for our partners at FRC. I pray for Tony today as he does what he can do to affect change in Washington. I pray for our President Tim Wildman, the same thing. And I just pray for General Boykin that you would protect him, continue to use him at FRC to be just a bolt of lightning of God's truth and power and fidelity to the Word. And Lord, we just pray for all of this, and we pray it in the name of Jesus. General Boykin, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Sandy, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure, and God bless you.
Thank you. Same to you, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, so bye-bye. We should be hearing Be Still playing beautifully behind us again, Stephen Curtis Chapman. And coming up next, we're going to pray about our finances in this country. We're going to pray about our country spiritually. So I hope that you'll just join us. Whatever you're doing, let's pray.
Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is holy. Be still, O restless soul of mine. Bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God.
This is Sandy Rios on AFR Talk, and we are praying today. So I hope that wherever you are, you will just don't have an accident. But before the Lord, pour your heart out. Ask for forgiveness. Cleanse your heart and mind. And let's ask God to fill us with the power of His Spirit so that we can change our lives, our families, and our country. We'll be right back after this.
Evelyn was concerned about helping her teen granddaughter, Sophia. Hi, Kim Katola for Cradle My Heart today. Sophia was pregnant and considering abortion. Evelyn wanted to help with that decision, so she reached out to a local pregnancy help center. She asked, what exactly happens during an abortion? What are the potential side effects? What about emotional or psychological fallout? While Evelyn had thought about the barriers to Sophia becoming a parent, she had not thought about the serious risks abortions pose. She began to consider her role as Sophia's grandmother to help her granddaughter see beyond her current crisis. Evelyn left the conversation with a new understanding of the value of life and the number of a local pregnancy center where she and Sophia could find the life-saving help they needed. Find out more about pregnancy help centers at cradlemyheart.org. Saving lives and healing hearts after abortion, one story at a time. cradlemyheart.org.
Putting life in perspective with Harry Reeder.
I not only believe that biographies help you develop life because it gives you models and mentors from a distance that you would never be able to have contacted because they're dead or because they live at a distance from you, but I also love to read biographies because I love to try to see when I'm reading about someone's life, what did God in His providence use to fashion the life of this man or woman? What were the key things?
For additional Christian resources from Harry Reeder, download the Briarwood PCA app, available at the App Store, Google Play, Amazon, and the Windows Store.
In Perspective with Harry Reeder, an outreach of Briarwood Presbyterian Church, Birmingham, Alabama, committed to equipping Christians to worship God and to mending the hurting in Christ.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with this Fox News and Commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Dr. Robert Bowen. I am the Dean of Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, and I'm an Associate Professor of Physiology. So one of the benefits of being a faculty member at TMU is not only are we allowed to speak the gospel in the classroom and within our areas of discipline, we're encouraged to do so. Everybody needs to know the love of Christ. And so I try to incorporate in my classes, and one of the places that I incorporate in the most is in my office when I have students come in.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu. Today.
The folks who run the school district in Bartlett, Tennessee, have shut down a grade school Bible club. Children at Alteria Elementary School would gather before the school day to learn Bible stories and do arts and crafts, all under the watchful eye of teachers. But when the Freedom From Religion Foundation found out, they accused the school district of breaking the law, alleging the club is a violation of the Establishment Clause. The Freedom From Religion Foundation is a Wisconsin-based gang of atheists, agnostics, and freethinkers. They break out in raging microaggressions at the mere sight of a Bible or the baby Jesus. The Center for Religious Expression is urging the district to rescind the ban, but that does not appear likely. I'm not sure what's more disgusting, folks, a bunch of grown-up atheists picking on grade schoolers or a school district too cowardly to do anything about it. I'm Todd Starnes.
The splendor of clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God?
That's Chris Tomlin, How Great Is Our God. This is Sandy Rios, and we're worshiping today. This is the National Day of Prayer. Sandy Rios with you. Isn't that beautiful? Name of How Great Is Our God. This is the National Day of Prayer. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. I'm going to read to you from a book that I was just reading yesterday. In Christ, every atom of your being, every thought of your mind, and the complete sum of your soul is called to be holy. And if this is not a summons to a life of restriction, rejection, and pain, but a call to love. In ancient Greek mythology, Odysseus, wishing to hear the alluring but deadly song of the sirens, ordered his men to bind him with ropes to the mast of the ship while their ears were filled with wax. Jason, however, hired Orpheus, the greatest musician of the age, to play a sweeter song than the sirens. Holiness is similar, because it is not a matter of tying yourself down to the lusts of the age, but of tuning your ears to hear the sweeter song of God's call. And that's what we're doing today. We are asking for God to fill us, to forgive us, and use us to breathe life over this nation and all of its complications. Kevin Freeman is my guest this morning. I've asked Kevin because I know Kevin is a financial expert. He's an expert on economic warfare and financial terrorism. I've talked to him before. It's been a long time, too long. He's the founder and CEO of Cross Consulting. But the reason I ask Kevin, besides that, to join us this morning is because I know he's a committed follower of Jesus. And Kevin, thank you so much for joining us this morning on this very unusual Sandy Rios in the morning. Kevin, as we look at this budget, for instance, that was signed yesterday, it is really a travesty. And I know that you've spent a lot of your life talking about the dangers of this kind of debt. Can you just... First of all, good morning.
Good morning, Sandy.
And what do you think about what happened yesterday on that omnibus, and what that should, how we should receive that, even if we try to make something out of it spiritually? What can we make of that?
Well, the debt is a curse spiritually. You look in Deuteronomy 20, chapter 28, and it talks about a nation under a curse will fall deeper and deeper into debt, borrowing from everyone and lending to none, as opposed to a nation under blessing, which lends to every nation very generously. So, you know, it's evidence that our nation is not operating under the blessing, but we've been operating under the curse, at least in the past decade or so.
Is there anything, and that applies not only to a nation, but also just our personal lives?
Yes, debt really is a struggle and it's a problem. Our nation has $20 trillion in debt, but also the pension systems of our nation are underfunded. And so individuals that think they have a solid retirement are facing struggles and problems. And then people have taken on more debt in the form of credit cards, student loans, and everything else. So we've not operated under God's principles for quite some time in this nation.
And we've been being warned about this. You know, I remember when I started radio in Chicago in the 90s, I remember doing lots of shows on this, and the warnings then about debt we can't handle. People are defaulting. People are, you know, borrowing too much. There's too much borrowing going on. And so we have just ignored it. And, you know, Kevin, when you bring it up in D.C., it's like crickets. It's like nobody wants to talk about it because it's so overwhelming. And so they just keep on spending, like this 1,665-page spending bill that they just passed last night. It's as though, well, let's just say the House passed it. Now it has to be signed by the president and has to go to the Senate. But they don't. There's no reality there about our finances, is there?
No, it's a huge myth, the idea that you can spend as much as you want. And that's true. Give any individual a new credit card with a big credit line, and they'll go out and spend money. And it doesn't become a problem until you approach the limit. And the question is, where is the limit on the amount of debt? We have more debt than any nation in history has ever had, $20 trillion almost. Where's the limit? Because when you hit that credit limit, bad things start to happen.
Well, and also the reality of the headlines, we are now facing potential warfare. I don't know if it's warfare, maybe overstating it, but conflict with North Korea, certainly with Iran, with the other dangerous partners around the China. I don't know. I think China, we're much further off, but still, we have to build our resources in order to defend ourselves. So what does all this debt do to that, Kevin?
Well, the first thing people cut when is defense. And, you know, the funny thing is we spend more on defense than the next eight nations combined, but it's still a small fraction relative to the overall budget. Most of what we're spending is our entitlement programs that are trying to prop up or keep our economy going. And the reason for that is our economy hasn't grown. And the reason that our economy hasn't grown is we're overregulated and overtaxed. It's a vicious circle that's spinning the wrong direction. And we've got to stop it and start it spinning the other direction.
Kevin, in terms of personal responsibility, you know, we can't, you know, you and I can't sit down today and fix the national debt. But it affects all of us because over half of us, and I'd say most all of us listening, in some way benefit from the government, you know, financially. We get something, whether it's subsidies for health care or Social Security or, you know, student loans or whatever. How do we apply this to our personal stewardship, the knowledge of the national debt? How is there any way to do that, or is it just so overwhelming we can't really?
Well, the first thing to recognize is that national debt, the government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. And so while we owe it and we have this massive debt and we're all receiving benefits, we're just fooling ourselves. We're sending money to Washington. They're taking a piece of it and using it for bureaucracy, and then they're sending the rest back to us. You know, it's redistributing, but it's still all our money. It's none of it's the government money. And I get so frustrated in Washington when they talk about, you know, the government's giving you a tax break. It's our money to begin with, which means it's also our debt to begin with. And if once we wake up to the reality that we're just playing a shell game on this and it's being manipulated by government that's trying to enrich itself, then we can start to take positive actions. And we should start to demand, stop spending my money so foolishly. Because it's going to come from us and then come back to us, and less will come back to us than goes out from us.
Kevin, this is an unusual day, you know, but I've asked you because I know that you're a man of, you love the Lord. This is what you infuse in your, you're right there in the middle of national security circles in D.C. You have presented to Congress, testified before Congress. So you're right on the front lines, but you also understand that this is all really basically spiritual, and the only solution is God himself. And so would you please pray for us this morning on this National Day of Prayer on these matters?
Sure, I'd be honored to. Thank you, Sandy, okay. For the opportunity.
Thank you.
Father God, you are the great and righteous and one true God. You are worthy, and your ways are higher than our ways and better than our ways, and we as a people have sinned against you. We've sinned because we've turned you aside from our personal lives, and we've turned you aside from even our nation and our government, the nation that you helped. Father, you created this. You put it in the hearts of good men and women to make this nation come to pass. And because we've turned aside, just like the people of Israel turned aside, we are under a curse. Lord, Deuteronomy chapter 28 is a nation under a blessing, a nation under a curse, and we've turned the wrong way. But that's good news because, Lord, if we recognize it and if we repent of it, we know that you'll hear from heaven. You said that in 2 Chronicles 7:14. And so, Father, my prayer is that the people of God would wake up and we would realize that we're in a mess. But our mess is one that we've created because we've turned aside from you. And, Father, your people, let us turn back to you and cry out to God and say, I care less for the things of the world than I care for the things of God. I put my treasure not here on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but instead, Father, I put my treasure in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. We put our trust in you as a righteous and a mighty God. And Father, we pray for our leaders. You told us to, for the Congress, for the President, for the bureaucracy. We pray for our leaders. And Father, we pray that you would redeem us. Father, you've done it through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. You've redeemed us spiritually. And now, Father, we ask that you would intervene in this earth and this nation and turn us back to you that we might honor you, glorify you, and be in a city set, a shining city set on a hill once again to bring light to the world and bring the truth of Jesus Christ to the world. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. And I want to add my prayers to that, Kevin. I ask sometimes... I pray this way, and I'm going to pray publicly this way. Father, in the matter of money and finances and in matter of our stuff and the things that we accumulate, I think we are so used to having so much and of just buying, and it's just hard. We can't even relate to people in other worlds and other times who did not have our resources. Even when we think we're being frugal, we're not being frugal. And so, Lord, I just ask, really, humbly, that you give us your heart on the issue of things and money and possessions. You laid it out so beautifully. Kevin just mentioned it in Matthew about our layups, our treasures in heaven. Lord, help us to understand what that really means. And help us to see our giving, our things, the things that we own, the things that we acquire, our debt, all of that in the light of your Holy Spirit. And we offer that to you and do ask, beg, really, for your mercy on our country today. In Jesus' name. Kevin Freeman, again, founder and CEO of Cross Consulting. Kevin, we'll talk again on another day. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on this National Day of Prayer.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
We still know that he is holy. Be still, O restless on the mind. Bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still, you know that he is God. Be still, you know that he is faithful. Consider all that standing on and be amazed, and know that he will never change. Be still.
Right, this is Sandy Rios, and this is the National Day of Prayer. When we return, Dr. Erwin Lutzer will join us.
Be still, and know that he is God. Be still.
Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. As Nehemiah rebuilt the walls, the workers had a tool in one hand and a sword in the other. They stayed ready to fight, if necessary, as they worked. While we drown in a pool of endless political correctness and a refusal to identify Islamic terrorism, ISIS has announced the launch of its own currency. According to the Quran, only gold and silver should be used as exchange currencies. Thus, the ISIS currency will consist of gold, silver, and copper coins. The back of their highest value gold coin contains an image of the entire world, which represents the caliphate goal of global domination.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hey, moms and dads, are you at your wit's end? Hi, this is Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. I'm so grateful for the partnership we share with American Family Radio. We share a common goal: to bring hope to hurting families through the life-changing medium of radio. Be sure to listen Saturday afternoon at 4:30 Central on AFR Talk for help and hope for your family with Parenting Today's Teens.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
8 Days of Hope 13 is headed to Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. Hi, I'm Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope is a faith-based ministry. We've gone all over the country to help families rebuild after natural disasters. We've helped almost 1,800 families rebuild their homes, sometimes from the ground up. Lafayette, Louisiana, and the whole state of Louisiana got hit by epic flooding last year in August. Almost 25 inches of rain fell, and almost $20 billion of damage was done. Literally 140,000 homes flooded. Think about that, 140,000 families waiting for somebody to be a glimpse of Jesus. You can be a skilled professional, or you can be somebody like me who's less skilled but wants to give back. Go to 8daysofhope.com. We provide the food and lodging, and you can learn a lot more about the ministry. And we can't wait to see you in Lafayette, Louisiana, June 4th to June 11th. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Last week's dramatic congressional briefings on the threat from North Korea apparently failed to address its single most worrisome feature. That serious oversight was highlighted, though, by the North's missile test on Saturday, in which a ballistic missile flew to an altitude of 71 kilometers, then exploded. Initially, the test was depicted as yet another in a long line of failures, but it actually demonstrated the North's capability to use a single nuclear warhead to unleash a devastating electromagnetic pulse, or EMP, attack against our friends and forces in South Korea, destroying unprotected electric grids and electronic devices. Experts have long warned against such an attack against our country, too, perhaps launched from a tramp steamer off our coast or an orbiting satellite. We must protect our grid against such threats and the world against the North's pathological despot, Kim Jong-un. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios back with you. It is the National Day of Prayer. Heath and Kristen Getty, speak, O Lord.
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence, true humility.
This is the National Day of Prayer. This is Sandy Rio. So we're going to listen to the end of this because this is our time to pray. We are taking this day apart. It's separate to worship Him. I'm reading from a book called People of a Certain Character. It says, the Spirit convicts us of sin. The Spirit guides us to repentance from sin. The Spirit grows new life in us in the wake of sin. To be filled with the Spirit is the ongoing process of experiencing God's life-giving regeneration on an hour-by-hour basis. It is also crucial to our mission. Restored, refreshed, renewed, empowered, we then exhale God's Spirit into our environment. Christ breathes on us. We breathe on our neighbors, friends, and family members. In exhaling God's Spirit, we are empowered to purify our environment by the presence of God's Spirit. We become the sweet aroma of Christ to others, emitting that heavenly scent to draw others to God. So in my meetings yesterday in Washington, I was discouraged because there was a lot of bad news, and I asked God so specifically to just infuse me with His Spirit to encourage so many that are fighting this battle from morning till night. I've asked Dr. Erwin Lutzer to join us this morning. He's such a good friend to me, you have to know, but that's certainly not on his bio, and it shouldn't be. He's the pastor emeritus of Moody Church. He's the author of so many best-selling, wonderful books, One Minute After You Die, Hitler's Cross. And I just wanted to hear his voice on this National Day of Prayer and for you to hear it too as he prays with us. Dr. Lutzer, thanks for joining us.
I'm so glad to be with you, Sandy, and what a beautiful piece you read about the renewing energy of the Holy Spirit. And I know that it's easy for all of us to be discouraged as to what's happening in our nation. But, you know, the people of God throughout history have had to prove that it's not necessary for them even to win in this life in order to be faithful. And that's what we're called to be at this very critical hour. And I don't know of any hour of American history, certainly, when it is time for the church to be the church, to represent Christ in a world that clearly seems to be losing its way.
Dr. Lutzer, I don't know if you would agree with me. I think you might. It seems to me that this particular last few years, the people of God really have kind of awakened. I'm not claiming a mighty revival. I'm not claiming that yet. But it just seems like, from my conversations with people on the air here, there is a seriousness that has set in, a seriousness about the mission and a seriousness about their responsibility to be what we just talked about, the Spirit breathing life to neighbors and friends and family and to the nation. Do you sense that too?
I think that that is true, and I think that there's a real danger. You know, after the recent election, I think many Christians sort of think, well, and now we have someone in the White House who is going to be able to, you know, put in a good Supreme Court justice, which, of course, we are thankful for the one that was put in. And we kind of think that this is a time of reprieve. I don't think that, but many people do. This is a time when we need to really seriously call on God, because any victory that is won by the church, and I'm not speaking here at all about political victories, but any victories that are won are completely contested by a society which, I don't want to be too negative, has become quite anti-Christian. So, yes, I think people are praying. I would like to think that the church is desperate, because those are the kinds of prayers that God hears. But I'm not completely convinced that we are there yet as a nation.
Yes, well, I think, I tell you, yesterday, again, in the meetings and the things that I heard in Washington yesterday, there's a kind of a despair I see setting over many of the people on the front lines again, because I think there was an expectation of progress, and then there is the deceit that's being, now I'm talking about Congress and congressional leaders, is so deep and so grave, it is almost incomprehensible. And I think people are beginning to understand that we, our leaders, of course, are sick like their people have allowed themselves to be sick. And so we have such a complicated situation, and we have a president who I think is new to even the ways of God, Dr. Lutzer, and not certainly if he understands them at all, he's very new at it. And he's listening to, he's got a million voices. Some of them are enemies of the faith, and they lack wisdom. In fact, some of them are, you know, their voices are from the enemy himself. And so we find ourselves in tossed to and fro kind of in this ship on this these crazy seas. And I think we're going to see more turmoil unless God should continue to intervene. And with that in mind, Dr. Lutzer, I would you please pray with us and for us this morning for whatever God has laid on your heart. Dr. Lutzer, did we lose you? All right, well, just call him back, and while we call him back, I will just tell you that a couple of things. You know, it's funny. This is very personal, but when I was reading yesterday, I picked up a book, and I've been reading from it. It's actually a book by my son, and it's amazing to me how God does miracles in ways that we don't even expect. I raised my son and, of course, taught him the things of God, but I never dreamed that my son would then turn around and grow up and teach me more of the things of God. It is just one of those miracles, and I only mention that as a personal thing. God is eager to hear our prayers. He's eager to intervene. I was on a plane yesterday with a young man, maybe he's even listening, who his son has terminal, his cancer. He's had cancer. He's 7 years old. He's been suffering for 5 years. And we shared on the plane about the things that God is doing in their lives in miraculous ways. Let me know if Dr. Lutzer comes back, please. Oh, okay. And so just God is in the business of miracles. And so we need to pray. Dr. Lutzer, we lost you. So now can you come back with us and please pray for us and with us?
Yes, and of course, I'm most happy to, and I hope that my voice is now heard. And isn't it interesting that the cell phone that I'm using or some aspect of technology should go bad? One of the things I want to pray against is the negative effects of technology on our children. Father, we come to you today with great need as a nation. Lord, we are humbled when we think of how foolish we have been as we look at what is happening in Washington, but that's only a picture of what's happening in our own homes and in our own hearts. And Father, my prayer today is simply this. We need you, O God. Lord, we repent of our sins. We repent that we have been distracted. We repent, Father, of the great impact that technology is having on our children and the addictions that are developing. Father, we pray for our homes. God, we know that you cannot, or shall I say, oh God, you know that we cannot progress unless we strengthen the home. And Father, only you can do that. I pray that everyone who is listening at this moment will pray for their home and their situation. And then, Father, we pray for our government. Oh, God, we see so much rancor on both sides. Father, we pray today that the leaders of this nation will lay down their egos and begin to think about what is best for the people of God and for all the people in this nation. Lord, we have sinned. I'm reminded of the words of Daniel, who said so clearly, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant, we have sinned and we've done wrong. Father, we're embarrassed when we think of what is happening, when we think of the great opportunities you have given us. And Lord, we know that it's not necessary simply for us to pray, though that is true. It is also necessary for us to deeply repent, to seek your face, that we as your people might be your people and that the church of Jesus Christ might be the church at this critical time. We pray, O God, that you shall grant that for your glory. Lay upon this nation this day a burden for prayer, that we might not only just pray with words, but that we might pray with hearts that are broken and hearts that cry up to you on our behalf. and on behalf of this nation. Help us, Lord, to evangelize, to share the good news of Jesus with others, and to be glad that we belong to you. May we represent you well, we pray in Jesus' most holy name. Amen.
Dr. Lister, thank you so much. It's great to have even just a few minutes with you on this National Day of Prayer. The verse for today is, Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. We'll be right back after this.
We still know He is our Father. Come rest your head upon His breast. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing.
This has been the National Day of Prayer. Special thanks to General Boykin, Kevin Freeman, and Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Now go forth and be filled with His Spirit.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.